Ezekiel 34, 26. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. I think this is a beautiful verse. Just the picture that it paints in our minds. I want us to talk about that for a few minutes this morning before we get into the lesson. Again, I want to welcome everyone. Thank everyone for being here. We need to be praying for those that are unable to be here, for those that are traveling, that they will have a safe return to us. So I was thinking of something to tie in with Thanksgiving this week, and Thanksgiving is something we don't even talk much about anymore, other than football games or what we're going to eat or what we're going to buy on Friday with Black Friday sales. When I was growing up, Thanksgiving was a lot different, and it was a big deal in the schools. And you talk about the Indians and the Pilgrims. And I imagine today you probably can't even talk about either one of those groups, let alone both of them together. And I remember it's been quite a few years ago that they were starting to take that out of the schools, talking about Thanksgiving. And they started by saying at that first Thanksgiving, the Pilgrims and the Indians thanked each other. You see, they started rewriting history. That's not who they thanked. They thanked God. They thanked God for the blessings that they had. Thanksgiving was a holiday of thanking God, not the religious world, but people in general thanked God for all the blessings that they have. And now we've gotten so far, we've removed God from everything. Again, it's all about me. It's all about what else I can get, what I want. And we've lost this spirit of thankfulness. And God has given us so many things to be thankful for. So many blessings that we have. The song that I have on the screen, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious, reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now is the God we're confessing. Now is on Jesus we call. There shall be showers of blessing. If we but trust and obey, there shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have his way. And again, this picture of showers of blessing to come in their season. And you think about when a rain would come and it would just start in a few drops here and a few drops there. And then the heavens would just open up and you would have a really nice shower. And what would that do? It would refresh everything. The grass would be greener. Things would grow. The trees would look better. That shower of rain refreshes everything. Friends, God showers us with blessings every day. And so many times, for whatever reason, we get caught up in this life where we just close our eyes and we don't see them. But we need to stop and think about them. And friend, all blessings come from God, the physical and the spiritual ones. God has abundantly blessed us with physical blessings. He's our creator. He's created everything, given us everything. He sustains us. He gives us rain from the heavens above. He gives us fruitful seasons. He fills our heart with gladness, for in him we live and move and have our very being. It's from God. Psalm 65, for praise to God for his work in sustaining creation. And I want us to take the sermon body from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll start reading at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So with these words, Paul begins the heart of his letter to the church at Ephesus. He teaches us that all spiritual blessings, where are they? They are in Christ. Neither this verse nor any other verse teaches that all physical blessings are in Christ. This says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. The scriptures teach us that God's physical blessings fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. Back to rain. It doesn't just rain on the faithful. It rains on the saint and the sinner. The prosperity of the wicked has been a problem for the righteous to understand. We look and see people living in sin and say, well, how can they have so much when they're living in sin? But this is a lesson we need to be reminded, that those who are associated with some of the faith healing ministries teach that God's physical blessings are directed toward the righteous. And we've seen this in the past. There used to be shows on, I would see one every so often, and you'd hear these testimonials. Somebody would say, you know, I used to be a sinner. I lost my job. I lost my health. Me and the wife were having problems. The kids were terrible. And then I got Jesus. And, you know, I got a new job. I was healed. Me and the missus are doing great. And the children are just little angels. And they would sell the religion on this false idea that if you have problems and you come to Jesus, all your problems are going to disappear. Friends, they aren't going to disappear. But that's another lesson. So notice in verse 3, blessed be the God. This word blessed, eulogio, E-U-L-O-G-E-O, blessed, praised, adored, thanked. It's used only of God. We see that word used today in eulogy. When someone dies and there is a eulogy, you speak well of that person. So to celebrate with praises, to speak well of, eulogio, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has blessed us that we might prosper and be joyful in spiritual things. And again, God blesses the just and the unjust with physical blessings, but all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So, we need to start by understanding that God provides us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. There is a time when Paul recognized God as his Father in heaven, but in that period of life, he did not believe that Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, was the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. He didn't believe that. And what did he do? He got authority to go around and take Christians, take them out of their house and drag them off to have them to be put to death. But Paul learned the truth. Paul after his conversion to Christ, declared sometime later that his initial role, he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. And Paul further states that he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Paul was wrong. He thought what he was doing was right, but he was wrong. And there's a lesson there for us too about our conscience. Just because what we're doing we think is okay, we need to check it with God's word. Because he had Christians put to death, and he said that he did that in all good conscience. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Of all things that Paul did, he said that he was the chief of sinners, yet he obtained mercy from Jesus Christ. Are we thankful for that? You know, Paul wasn't the only one that received mercy. Every one of us here has received mercy. We need to be thankful to God for that. We need to be thankful to God for that. If we are in Christ, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Blessed One, God, invoked blessings upon us in Christ. He's caused us to make us prosper and happy. Again, prosper not with money, but to be fruitful, to prosper, to do well, to be happy and joyful. Well, we need to understand and comprehend our blessings. We sing the hymn, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." We need to take time to do that. Not just once in a while, but we need to do that all the time. And if we stopped and counted our blessings, how long would it take us to do that? If we stop and seriously think, it would take quite a while because God has given us so much. God has given us so much. And you think about when Christ taught, and we've studied so much of his ministry, and it revolved around the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is very interesting of the things that occurred around there. Christ's ministry, the sea itself, the call of the fishermen. And the sea is one that, as we've read some of the accounts, where they would be out on the sea and a storm would come up like out of nowhere. It would come up. And we've seen slides, I've showed slides of those waves and what it could do to the land. But when we are in Christ, when we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and you think about your life in the Sea of Galilee, sometimes we have storms in our life. And what did Jesus do sometimes? Sometimes he calmed the sea. "Peace, be still." And the sea was calm. Sometimes there was a storm and he got him through the storm. He took him safely to the other side of the shore and they got out of the boat. And one time with Peter, what did he tell him? He said, "Get out of the boat." Peter wanted to walk to Jesus, and he said, "Get out of the boat." And he started walking till he took his eyes off of Christ, and he started to sink. Friends, Jesus wants to be the master of our lives, and he's given us blessings every day. They're all around us, and we just don't open our eyes to them. I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 3, and notice some of these. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One of the first blessings we see here is that we have been chosen. Chosen in verse 4, to pick out, to choose, to make a choice, to be blameless before him in love. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in him. You think about that. He chose us to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world. That wasn't some accident. That's a great blessing. Notice in verse 5, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. What did he do? He predestined us to be his sons, predestined to be foreordained to adoption. According to Thayer, God set a boundary. He marked out definitely that through Christ, men would become sons of God. He chose us to be his children in Christ. You want to be a son of God? You can't be it in some other religion. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, we are adopted into the family. You think, and you might know some families that have adopted children, or you might know some children that have been adopted into a family, and it's a blessing to those children. It's a blessing to those parents. And we understand that in the physical realm. Friends, do we stop and thank God? Are we thankful that God made it possible that we could be adopted into his family? Or do we just take it for granted? Or do we just think, well, God owes me that because I'm a good person? I'm a good person. I come to church 3 times a week. I sing, I pray, I put some money in the plate. I'm a good person. God owes me that. Friends, God doesn't owe us a thing. We need to have the attitude of Paul when he said that he was the chiefest of sinners and he thanked God for the mercy that he showed to him. Well, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So another blessing that we have been accepted. We have been received this grace. This grace is abundantly giving, not stingily, but abundantly. And in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption, we've been bought. We've been bought out. Bought out of what? We've been bought out of slavery to Satan. We've been redeemed. We have a new owner, a new master. A master that loves us, a master that blesses us every day, a master that wants only what is good for us. And what did he buy us with? What did it cost him? His blood. In him we have redemption through his blood. His blood. He paid the price that we could not pay when he went to the cross. And why is it through the blood? Because you go back to the Old Testament and in Leviticus, God said it is by the blood that he atoned sin. That's what he required to atone for sin, was blood. That's why you read of all those animal sacrifices. Those animal sacrifices taught the people that when they sinned, there is a price to be paid. When they sinned, there had to be shedding of blood. And that cost them something. that cost them something. You think about the flocks that they would have, the animals that they would have. It takes a lot of time and energy and money to feed and raise an animal, and then they couldn't take a sick one or one that was lame to have it sacrificed. It had to be perfect, without spot, without blemish, to pay the price for their sins, all down through time. But there is nothing perfect that could take away sin completely until Christ came. And when he was coming toward John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Are we thankful for that? If Jesus hadn't come, we would still be condemned in sin. If Jesus hadn't come, we would be without hope, because we're Gentiles. We have so much to be thankful for. Redemption through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed to himself. So we need to understand our blessings. But you know, you go back to thinking about the Sea of Galilee, and when that storm would come up, what do we focus on? Do we focus on the storm in life, or do we focus on drowning in that storm? And there are so many people drowning in that storm because that's what they're focusing on. What do we need to do? We need to focus on our blessings, not on our fears. We need to count our many blessings. Focus on our blessings. The riches, again, verse 7 and 8, the riches of his grace and all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. What is a mystery? People talk about things that are mysterious today, and I just don't understand this, and I don't understand that, and how this works and that works. It's a mystery. People buy mystery books to read, I guess, or they read them online today. But when the Bible talks about a mystery, what is a mystery? It's something that has not been revealed. Salvation was a mystery in the Old Testament. When Christ came and became that sacrifice, that was no longer a mystery. It was revealed. Having made known to us, we don't have to wonder now. We know it's not a mystery. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. He wanted to do this. He wanted to be the sacrifice for us because he loved us so much, which he purposed in himself. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both all which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Do we focus on that? Everything is in Christ, friends. We need to focus on our blessings, not on our fears. We need to be thankful. We need to not have Thanksgiving one day a year. We need to have Thanksgiving every day of the year. In verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, so to the praise of his glory. So God continually gives us things to confirm that we are his. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption We are sealed. You talk about a guarantee. Sometimes you might buy something or some real estate or something, and they want a guarantee, a surety. That's what the Holy Spirit is. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's the security. We use the term earnest money. You put some earnest money down on something. We are God's possessions, and we are His heirs, and God will eternally reward us. Look down at verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that in the riches of the glory of His inheritance and in the saints, God has given us wisdom, revelation, knowledge. He's enlightened our eyes. And it's interesting, in verse 16, that I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Friends, we need to be thanking God every day for what we have. We need to be thanking God every day for each other. None of us are going to make it to heaven alone. None of us are going to make it to heaven by ourselves. We need one another. We need one another. We need to thank God for one another. But we need to focus on our blessings, not our fears. In verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. As we were talking about in class this morning, Christ was humbled. He was humbled to death on a cross, and then He was lifted up far above all principality, seated at His right hand in the heavenly places. Christ is at the right hand of God in heaven. He's reigning far above all principality and power, all of these things that exist on this world, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Friends, we need to be thankful that we have a Savior like Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful that we can be a child of God. We need to be thankful that Christ is reigning. You know, we talk about politics here on the earth, and I hope this person gets in. I hope that person doesn't get in. That's gone on since the beginning of time. So you pick whatever names you want to put in there for the rulers in whatever countries. But we understand that whoever is ruling can have good consequences or bad consequences. We understand that. And friends, we need to be thankful that Christ is ruling. He's defeated death. He's made it possible for us to overcome sin. And we need to be focused on that. We need to focus on our blessings and not on our fears. The world wants to fill us with fear. It wants us to jump every time it says boo. It wants us to take our eyes off of Christ. And friends, we need to realize that God provides us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We need to understand those blessings, and this has just been a short list of them this morning. And we need to focus on those blessings and not on our fears. And friends, I mentioned this earlier, we need to count our many blessings. another beautiful song. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Friends, we need to be thankful. We need to count our many blessings. Back to where we started, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Are you in Christ to receive all spiritual blessings? So then that raises the question, how do we get into Christ? Well, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, comes through the Father except through me. In Acts 4:12, we see that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This goes back to the Old Testament where God required blood for the atonement. Paul writing in Romans 6, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We have to be in the body to be saved. Christ is the head of the church. We have to be in the church. He's the Savior of the body. The body is the church. In John 3:5, speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. And as we talked about in class this morning, two of the most violent things in life are used to talk about the life of a Christian. Being born again, the birth process, and the death process. When we're baptized, we crucify that old man, we rise up to live a new life, and then we need to focus on our blessings, not our fears. We need to be thankful. We need to be praying for one another, helping each other. And one day, when this life is over, we'll be around the Father's throne for time without end, when we have done what he has told us to do. Friends, if there's anyone this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.